gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Go to meeting, everybody. Here we go. It's a national go to meeting. Hey, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Get it?
Yay.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Another big show, The Rude Pundit, who has some great, great stuff this week about the midterms and where we go next. Eric Bollert of Media Matters for America. And, of course, Mondays with Edie McClurg.
That's
Why?
Right.
Because only comedians can save us now.
And I'm sure that...
Including my future husband, Bill Maher, who... Bill Maher for president. Bill Maher for... did you watch the show?
You know, I usually watch it, but this weekend I just didn't for some reason.
I think he was dead. Well, first of all, yay for my future husband, Keith Olbermann, who will be back tomorrow. You know what? I had my panties all in a twist this morning, and you're like, he's back tomorrow. I'm like, oh, all right. Well,
yeah,
I was all
there
fired
goes that
up.
Show. There goes the show we planned.
All right. Damn you, MS. Oh, he's back? Never
Stephanie
mind.
Stephanie Miller.
That's right. He defended me one time.
Stephanie Miller.
And I'm
Stephanie
defending
Miller.
Him.
Stephanie Miller.
First, all right, we'll get to Olbermann in a second, but anyway, Bill Maher was talking about, actually, just some great stuff on the midterms in general,
yeah.
But also on the rally to restore sanity. And Chris, I've said a lot of this on the air, and I've said it to you off the air,
mm-hmm.
And he's friends with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
Sure.
It's not obviously everyone thinks they're great and wildly talented, but Bill pointed out exactly what we were saying. That he said, you know, if you're going to have a rally when 200,000 people show, make it about something.
Yeah.
If you're going to say it's to restore sanity, then come down on the side of the people that are for sanity. And it was the same thing I talk about, that conflating both sides as the same. He just was making, he just did a really great, in my opinion, patriotic rant about how it's not. He was saying, for instance, about Keith Olbermann. He said to conflate Keith Olbermann with Glenn Beck. He said one of them tries to report facts and the other one is close to playing with his own poo, which I thought was...
All right.
Exactly. So... anyway, but that's what I'm saying, and that's unfortunately, I think, part of what happened in the midterms is people got disgusted with everybody. But there is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, just in particular, Bill Maher made a great case for stuff this weekend, because it just, and we've talked about this, that I don't think Democrats were wrong on what they tried to do. That's why I'm glad Pelosi's running again. As Rude Pundit writes this week, she was right. She got all this great stuff done that they ran on,
mm-hmm.
that the American people want done. And that's the frustrating thing is when you go in polls and people are for that stuff and yet voted Democrats
out. So what's the problem here?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's obviously more of a messaging problem
yep.
than what we're doing. And it's, but you know, oh, Bill Maher, he also had a great interview with Bill O'Reilly. And he went through, I forget which article it was, but that basically all the misperceptions that we've talked about the
mm-hmm.
American people have. That
yep.
they don't realize 95% of us got a tax cut. They don't realize this. And he's like, why do you think that is, Bill? Do you think Fox News could have anything to do with that? And that's it.
And what did Bill say? That's interesting.
Hedged, as usual.
Of course.
You know, he never takes responsibility. It's like he's something that, oh, I don't know, say other people at Fox.
It's the Fox.
Yeah, he brought up the, $2 billion a day, whatever the hell the figure was for the president's trip.
Yeah.
And and he's like, who said that? And Bill's like, Sean Hannity. And he's like, oh, well, I don't have to take that up with Hannity. I don't know.
Yep.
You know, it's like, that's the problem is that, you know, and we've talked about this in terms of Fox News being not only... first of all, maybe we talked about MSNBC did this to finally differentiate between Fox and MSNBC. Fox is a fundraising arm of the Republican Party, for
right.
God's sakes. They obviously don't have this rule at all.
Hannity,
and all the others give tons of money.
I've looked at the Fox News
yeah.
ethics rules, and they are extremely lenient.
Yeah.
Shockingly
yeah. and
lenient.
Rachel said this, Friday night,
yeah.
is let this put to rest forever, that there is any, again... Excuse me, John Stewart, but any conflation
right.
between Fox News and MSNBC?
I like my news organizations
yeah.
to have ethics rules.
Yes. Oh, you asked this morning, just to be on the safe side, if there are any ethics rules here.
I did.
Computer says none.
I think it's fairly clear there are none of any kind.
I didn't sign a damn thing when
unless
I got
you, unless you gave money to the Nazi, then you're fired.
Okay.
You're
yeah.
fired.
Otherwise, I don't care.
I don't think I've... I don't think I've given
money. We're too cheap. We don't make enough money to give money to anybody.
Well, I've never given money to any particular political candidate. I may have given money for or against the proposition here and there.
Right.
But, no, I've never given money to any particular candidate.
Mm. Oh, I gave money, but to go to Oprah's house.
You did. Yeah. You gave what? What was that?
Because I'm a looky-loo like that.
Was that $1,000 or something?
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was to go to the it was when Obama
Montecito.
Was running.
In
yes.
Yes.
For fundraiser thing.
The garden party or meadow.
Yes.
In the meadow.
The
that's where it
party
was.
In her swamp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, but I just, I really thought, you know, that is the difference, is in, particularly in this midterm cycle, as I said, I felt like there could not have been a clearer choice. And so, you know, we do have work to do in terms of, you know, messaging and all of that, but I just thought, well, here's why the Keith Olbermann thing in particular, when he was saying Keith Olbermann was right about this rally for sanity, that they are not both the same on both sides.
Right.
And I thought, we'll see what Keith says tomorrow night when he comes back, but here's the other thing. Did you see which races he gave to? Raul Grijalva
in Arizona.
Arizona. Mm-hmm. And against Rand Paul's opponent. And I got to tell you, in my experience with Keith, or, you know, watching him, he tries to stand up against what he perceives to be the bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And Raul Grijalva, as you know, has been the Grijalva.
Raul Grijalva.
I usually let Tom Brokaw handle that.
Yes.
But anyway, I mean, as you know, he's been the target of some really ugly racist kind of death threat stuff. And I know that all that was said is Keith said he gave after having a discussion with a friend about these particular races. And as we know, in the Rand Paul race, we had this guy stomping on a woman's head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that between that and the Citizens United, with all this money flooding into these races these bullies, just knowing, you know, as I've watched Keith, you know, defend, because you remember when he defended
Stephanie Miller.
It's because I got a right-wing death threat.
Yes.
Me and he was doing a whole rant. He was doing a special comment about enemies of the Bush administration, mm-hmm. and how, you know, how they're targeted by their right-wing allies and yada yada. And
right.
Just the bullies
and,
on
and
the other
he
side.
He mentioned your death threat.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, but my point is that I'm just guessing that might have been part of it, is because these they were sort of the targets of particularly egregious right-wing bullying.
And MSNBC does not prohibit its commentators from giving to political candidates.
Well, Scarborough has,
you just have to tell your boss, and that's the thing that Keith didn't do.
Right, right.
So...
Right,
you know,
except that there's another Scarborough one, I guess, more recently, but then they're saying, oh, well,
it was his wife. Yeah.
It was supposed to be in his wife's.
It's
a little
That's a little slippery, and we need to find out about that.
Yeah, but I mean, meanwhile, you know, Fox News, of course, has no such...
Right, exactly, which makes them much less of a news channel than we even thought.
Yes. So I don't know. Maybe that's the speculation. Maybe going forward, MSNBC wanted to... delineate once and for all, and this is a way to do it publicly.
And might I point out that MSNBC has an ethics policy that is much more lenient than a lot of other news organizations. None of the network newscasts allow you to give, period, at all.
Yeah.
And the New York Times doesn't allow you to give to political candidates at all. At least MSNBC allows you to give to political candidates. You just have to tell your boss.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I don't know. That's my take on the whole thing. But I just thought it all ties in nicely. I thought Bill Maher's rant about just the, you know, rally to restore sanity, and about just the whole thing about trying to conflate both sides. And I think going forward, Rude Pundit has some great stuff about this. We'll talk to him in a few minutes about how we better do the PR and delineate, because I'm telling you, they're bullies on the right side. I mean, you know, you got to look at what's going to happen now. I think one story you sent me is the right, you know, the Republican governors have already signaled they're going to make sure these rail projects don't happen.
Yeah.
They're going to get
already. John Kasich in Ohio said, high speed rail going through Ohio.
Yeah, that train's dead.
Yeah.
So there goes your rail system. There goes those jobs because of this is their principle, I guess.
There goes that infrastructure that we desperately need.
Yeah. Infrastructure and jobs.
Yep.
I mean, they literally, when they talk about the deficit, they're going to cut in the worst place. I mean, here we go with the tax cuts. I mean, they're going to fight to give millionaires tax cuts. I mean, how do you get people to vote for that in this economy?
The Republicans managed to do it.
Yeah, to hold tax cuts for the rest of us hostage while they try to help their millionaire friends. I mean,
we need a Frank Luntz on our side.
Right.
Why don't we have a Frank Luntz on our side?
I'll be that.
Oh, okay.
Bill in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey.
Hey, Steph, one point I'd like to make about the John Stewart rally. John Stewart didn't get it. I was there in the crowd, and we got there an hour late because the crowd was so damn big. We were so far away, we couldn't even hear him. But everybody I talked to said, it doesn't matter, we can't see a thing, but we're here. And basically the idea was we're here to be counted to show that there are more of us than there are Glenn Beck supporters.
Right, and, you know, and Bill Maher made that point, Bill, that that's true. The part he loves about it is this was twice as big as you know, Glenn Beck's rally, and it clearly was a liberal rally. I mean, clearly, largely,
obviously,
people that are
definitely
fans of these guys are liberal.
There were people there. I ran into a couple from British Virgin Islands and a guy that had just come from Cuba. I mean, people were from everywhere, and the one point was, hey, we outnumbered Beck.
Right.
We kicked his ass.
Right. But do you agree with what Bill Maher said this week that I was talking about? That I do think that John Stewart had this opportunity, and I think, and I'm not blaming the midterm from him, but I'm saying this is part of the problem, is then conflating both sides.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's no comparison. How can you, I mean, it's ridiculous to compare. And we've got to stand up and point this out.
Yeah.
And the Democrats need to... I'm sorry, I get so frustrated.
I know. No, me too.
The Democrats need to brag about what we have done and point out the lies that are just constantly being bombarded on us by the right.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying, Bill. Is he, you know, in his interview with O'Reilly, he made some very cogent points. I'll find the article he was talking about. But, you know, that on this issue, that issue, this issue, I mean, the American people voted largely with completely the wrong information. I mean, literally the opposite of what is true. And he said, you know, gee, Bill, do you think Fox News has anything to do with that? I mean, that's the problem, is they will repeat this to, what was it, Chris, 200 million a day?
200 million a day, yep.
For the, you know, figure for the president's India trip. And so people are going, oh, well, big government again. I'm voting against them again.
And the other thing is that the people that stayed home were the progressives on the far left. This is not a rejection of what Obama has done, that he went too far right. He went too far left. He went too far to the right.
Yeah, well.
Going, trying to go to the middle and accommodating the boneheaders on the
yep.
left.
Well, that's
the right,
what, yep, absolutely. Thanks, Bill. I mean, and that's why we got to really talk seriously about going forward, about strategy and all that. Like, I'm in charge of anything. 18 minutes.
What are you in charge of?
I don't know. I'm all full of myself this morning, aren't I?
Yes.
18 minutes after the...
you're full of pith and vinegar.
People lisp. Oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My word, what a gorgeous way to wake up.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Time. You can't touch this. Yo, sound the bell. School is in, sucker. You can't touch this.
So Mama was on the Ed Show on MSNBC on Friday, and when you tweeted about that, apparently you got a lot of, no, stop her, boycott.
Yeah.
Listen, once I've already canceled cocktail hour and I'm on my way, forget it.
Computer says no.
Besides, they don't pay me one thin dime. They can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, you're not under their ethics rules.
$1 million and some friggin' sharks with laser beams attached to their head if I want to.
What if you had brought up the Keith Olbermann kerfuffle?
I'm sure I would have, my satellite would have... It's quickly gone out.
I bet you it would have. They were a little touchy about it on Friday, I imagine.
Apparently. No, I actually only heard, like, just on my way. I didn't know
what
was going on.
Okay.
But, yeah. But President, Phil Griffin, president of MSNBC, said, after several days of deliberation and discussion, I've determined that suspending Keith through and including Monday night's program is an appropriate punishment for his violation of our policy. We look forward to having him back on the air on Tuesday, tomorrow. Which I don't know, lends, you know, some, I don't know, speculation to, was this publicity? Was it just a way of delineating between them and Fox? I mean, you know, Sharon Angle said it. Will they let me go on and say, go to SharonAngle.com? No, only Fox News will.
Yeah. And some people are saying that it's Comcast's way of getting rid of the liberals, you know, before.
That, I heard that.
But
I heard maybe contract renegotiation because he makes a lot of money.
The Comcast deal has not gone through yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't been approved yet. So Comcast has no say in the daily workings of MSNBC.
Pat Buchanan, who is he's an official MSNBC contributor, as opposed to
Stephanie Miller,
who does not get one dime for canceling cocktail hour and driving through rush hour. Not that I'm bitter. He gave a lot to that Nazi guy. I'm just saying. I'm not sure which candidates. He gives a lot of money to Republican candidates. It's just, so it is a fine line, I think.
Well, it's fine if at MSNBC, if you give money, you just have to tell your boss. And I imagine that, you know, Pat Buchanan disclosed it.
For instance, if you had come to me and said, Staff, can I give money to Meg Whitman? I would have said no and then shoved you into an Asian underling.
Do we have any Asian underlings here?
Well, I would have gotten one just for that occasion. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Steph, interesting revelation on Saturday. I listened to you out of WCPT here in Chicago, and on Saturday afternoon, our local host, who you've met, Dick Kay, who is a longtime local political reporter, stated that when GE bought out NBC, the NBC employees received a letter from Jack Welch, the CEO of GE at the time, requesting employees to donate to the GE PAC, which normally gave to Republicans. Now, Dick Kay said this, not me. You know, and Dick said employees got very upset with it. And
as
Welch
well, they should have.
Welch was forced to back down. But you know what? You see Jack Welch on MSNBC all the time. My opinion, this has got Jack Welch written all over it as well. Mm-hmm. He was on this week, you know, promoting tax cuts and yada, yada, yada. You know, but the hypocrisy is just overwhelming as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, I hear you. Let's go to Tucker in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tucker.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, real quick for that other caller, MSNBC was very clear to point out that CNBC is completely different and under completely different rules and regulations. And, Chris, by the way, you'd make an awesome employee because you do follow the rules very closely.
To a fault, and I get criticized for that sometimes.
You're a good soldier, baby.
Hey, yeah.
Steph, real quick, two quick things.
I encourage. I'm like, why can't you show up naked once in a while? Do something. Yeah. Can't you photocopy a body part and send it to me? Something.
I am not a piece of meat, Stephanie.
Whatever. Your job is to wear something
tight. All those people that were complaining about you going on Ed's show.
Yes.
You know, no. I mean, Ed was so right. Ed was the guy who has been screaming about Robert Gibbs for so long that these guys don't have the messaging down. He was sensing out there. I didn't want to believe it either. I mean, it seems so antithetical that people are going to vote against their own interests, but they did. And if you watch Face the Nation from yesterday, Bob Schieffer's interview with Mitch McConnell was fantastic. Basically, he got Mitch McConnell to admit that he will think about some of Rand Paul's ideas for reducing the deficit, including reducing all government workers' pay, while at the same time defending $700 billion for the tax cuts. That's a position.
You know, Fareed Zakaria said it yesterday. He said, this isn't politics. This is math.
Yep.
There is not. That's the problem. There is not two sides here, Tucker. You know?
No. I mean... those are the fights. This is like the Empire Strikes Back for all the geeky friends. It's the middle act.
Right. Well, Tucker, it's like someone said they're going to destroy the National Endowment for the Arts, which is 0.001% of the budget or the deficit. I mean, this is not a discussion for serious people.
No.
By the way, and these are serious times. We need serious people. I had dinner with Rob Reiner and his lovely wife Michelle over the weekend.
Name dropper.
Okay, I am such a giant name dropper.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I have passed some line someplace. I am beginning to repel people. I'm trying to seduce.
Yeah, whatever. It is the 32-4 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, his rudeness is rude and dead on this week, I tell you.
Sleep off of the rude pundit. Pundit.
Papa, come to Mama.
Good morning, Steph.
Stephanie.
Sure. Boy, can I have some sunny, upbeat music, please? Because, wow, are you sunny and upbeat about the midterms. I just have to read this because this is some of the most dense, hilarious writing I've read in quite some time. You say, what is the end result of the vaguely conceived ideology that it was affirmed in the midterms? It's that each of us should have the right to squat in our piles of ignorance, isolated from one another, coveting our precious money, filleting our guns and ourselves against our 50-inch LED screens and our multi-mortgage, soon to be foreclosed on hovels. And if your faces with poison, engorge your faces with poison food, asthmatically heave your chest through polluted air, and travel on shattered roads and bridges while picking your unmedicated scabs in order to get to work at Walmart for wages. But at least there's a wall that keeps the Mexicans and the gays out, because that's what God and the screaming ghost of Samuel Adams would want for us. The ultimate goal, their ultimate goal, is to dismantle society in favor of Darwinian anarchy. Welcome to it, everybody!
Hey!
Leave it to you to put a glass half full spin on what happened.
Oh, sure, sure. I came, you know what, sometime on Tuesday night when I ran out of tequila, I just walked away from the TV and thought, this is just not going to get any better.
Well, you know, you point out some, first of all, we'll get to what we do next, which you just have some great stuff this week. But, you know, you say, we know that they got there because they lied, as they always do, about what this president has accomplished, about how much he tried to work with the GOP, about how genuinely not liberal Barack Obama is. We know that they had the Citizens United decision not unleashed a floodgate of corporate cash. Blah, blah, blah. Sorry. I lost my place. Some of the losses might have been mitigated. We know that the shattered nature of contemporary media meant that many people got their news filtered through Rupert Murdoch's ass crack. But we also know that they made a decision to win no matter what, as they do. And again, this gets to how they play and how we play and how we go forward here. You said that meant putting up with the desires of a Tea Party composed of only Mad Hatters, so be it. If it meant breaking down the working of federal government, so be it. Making a bunch of poor suckers believe the tax break for the wealthy was good for everyone and that environmental and other regulation was bad was the easy part. The win was what mattered. It doesn't matter how much mud you're covered with as long as you put the ball in the end zone. And that's really sums it up, doesn't it?
They decided that they were going to lie at every turn and that lying was going to be their strategy. I mean, McConnell's pretty much admitted that they decided that they wouldn't participate in trying to help the economy and they were staking coming back to power on that.
Yeah. No, you know, you're right. We should, like, call their bluff. Go, well, you know what? You're right. You won. So really the first thing you ought to do is dismantle the death panels. That ought to be the first thing we get to then. So show us again in here where that is, that you what you ran on and won on.
Defund the death panels. Yeah, and you were right earlier. I mean, all the things that they're suggesting now, the Republican governors, are things that actually create jobs. Sorry, yeah. This whole thing that government doesn't create jobs is such a stupid lie. Why doesn't the government give up all of its contracts to private companies and then see how many jobs the government creates?
Yeah, Ohio's sitting there with their unemployment going, thanks, Kasich, thanks.
Chris Christie.
Uh-oh, we lost the... Oh, no, there you are.
I'm here. Chris okay. Christie in New Jersey, you know, getting rid of the tunnel. Yeah. And then they're... This is what modern technology is. It's call waiting. So.
There is no one more important than me right now. You just tell them.
Absolutely not. I'm not even seeing if that's like a dying relative.
Give me some more.
Could be my mom calling from a plane plummeting to the earth, and I am going to talk to you.
I'm on the air, Mom. All right. Give me some more happy, zippy music. Rude Pundit also writes this week, the Congress isn't going to get... done is now everything will have to be approved by DeMint and Paul. Wow. There's going to be investigations of every bit of grime Andrew Breitbart and Fox News can scrape from under the fingernails of even the lowliest members of the Obama administration. Pence, Issa, and Bachman will not be humble and cooperative with victory. They will be mad and drunk and ready for vengeance on the man who did nothing more than try to enact the will of the people who elected him by doing some of the very things he said he would do. We, the people, abandoned Barack Obama yesterday. Hate what you will about him and how he approached governing. The awful frustration of watching him compromise with a majority will seem like a happy vacation compared to what's coming. And it was the promise of a couple of extra bucks in their shrinking paychecks each week. Hope dies cheaply in this dirty, dead century. Really some happy, happy stuff this week, Rube.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
You know, though,
just the feel-better blog of the century, really.
You're allowed for a day or two to wallow. You know, you're allowed to have the hangover. You're allowed to, you know, have the dry heaves. And then you got to get back to work.
Well, let's get to that part, because you know me. I went right to the happy-clappy part of what do we do now
mm-hmm.
part of your... I went right to the rocky section.
Isn't that what's great about liberals? We're just like, hey, we can do something else now.
We're plucky.
Yes.
Yes, you write that time for the next round of this fight, and you entitled Despair, which I say despair as well. The 2012 fight starts now. Rude Pundit says, time to learn from our mistakes, lick our wounds, change the sheets, clean up our mess, get back in quickly. Time's a-wasting before the crazies arrive and attempt to shut down the government, defund health care, and wreck the economy. It's war. It's been a war. Act like it. You talk about his press conference. The president was too conciliatory, too willing to allow the lie-filled narrative of his supposed intransigence, the myth of his unwillingness to cooperate, to exist. And you compared it to what Bill Clinton said.
Yeah, Bill Clinton came out and said, yeah, I know you guys just won the Congress back, but you know what? Screw you. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And yes, he said, we will try to work together. But Obama, it was all conciliatory stuff without any digging in and saying, no, there are some beliefs from which I will not move.
That's the funny thing, the myth of his arrogance, as opposed to George Bush, who never backed down, who never said he was wrong, who had no humility. You're right. It's almost like the myth of his arrogance. He has too much humility. He's too willing to say, you know, I guess I was a part of this when, you know, like you say, that really was not the truth.
There have to be some things that come off the table. I mean, I hear now that they're already talking about taking the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell off the table for passing the defense spending bill that they have waiting to take care of. And it's just like, really, if you're going to do that now, then why did you appeal that decision that overturned Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Why not back off that and say, okay, well, you know what, the heck with it. We'll just let the courts do it. You know, do something that indicates that there are some core beliefs that you will not budge from, not abstract concepts, but core concrete beliefs.
Well, that's what you talk about in what to do during the lame duck session. You say, you know, of course, Republicans want Democrats' pledge to just run out the clock and wait for the new Congress to act on anything. Mitch McConnell's acting like he runs the Senate, which, by the way, you're still the minority leader.
Right.
Anyway, because you say, you know, as we know, Republicans would act just as honorably. We know they do the same thing in the lame duck. So screw it. I mean, you basically talk about essentially Reagan said, yeah, whatever, kiss my ass when he lost seats in the House, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Republicans during the lame duck session in 1998, they impeached Clinton. So I think that there's precedence here for action during a lame duck session.
Well, and you talk about, I mean, obviously Nancy Pelosi has announced she's running again, and I, you know, you say, look, she was right. You know, Reid and Obama had it wrong in terms of, I mean, she did everything she was told, and so that, you know, the fact that they've demonized her means it's because she was effective. Right.
I mean, I'm of two minds of it. One is, yes, she is an absolutely effective leader of the House. She is the person. I've been a fan of hers for a long time, and I've actually gotten into arguments with other progressives about it. She is somebody who has been able to get progressive accomplishments out of the House time and time and time again. And the White House didn't have her back, and Harry Reid didn't have her back going into the Senate. And so it was easy to demonize her. But that said, she has been demonized to an extent where she just the mention of her name makes Tea Partiers, you know, get an erection and get ready to get ready to do things to, you know what, I can't say it politely. There's going to be mad orgies at tea parties just at the mention. Pelosi is lubricant for them.
Right. But you talk about, you know, what they should do in the lame duck in terms of, you know, you say the worst thing that the Democrats can do is play nice till 2011, hoping it'll lay some kind of groundwork for cooperation and decency in the future. That's like thinking if you leave a crack whore alone with your pants, she won't steal your wallet.
And your pants.
And your pants as well. So you're saying use reconciliation to pass middle class tax cuts, leave the tax cuts for the wealthy for the new Congress, you know, so they have to more clearly delineate you are only fighting for millionaires.
And you know, Eric Cantor, who, and this is for Chris, can fillate me.
Yes!
Thank you.
He and I had a Twitter conversation about that last night, whether he could say that.
Yes.
Eric Cantor already saying that, you know, that anything but the complete, but extending all of the tax cuts is off the table. However, Cantor's talking like he's in charge of that, or that Republicans are in charge of the House now. This has got to be done in the lame duck session. And so Cantor doesn't have any power.
Right.
And for him to even think that this is something that he can have an effect on beyond, I don't know. What Obama should do is say, give me middle class tax cuts or you're letting them expire.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're letting them all expire.
Well, I mean, you know, by the way, I got to get your take on Olbermann, since, you know, I just feel like this sort of all ties together, that, you know, this is a bunch of bullies we're fighting on the other side. And if I had to guess why Keith gave in those particular races, you know, it's because there were some pretty egregious bullies on the other side in those races. What's your take on all that?
My take on the Olbermann thing is pretty much what Rachel Maddow said, which was, okay, this proves that MSNBC takes some things more seriously than Fox does. Fox, which has been conspicuously silent.
Right, which goes to Bill Maher's point that Jon Stewart is wrong to conflate both sides, like they're both equally the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I can see a reason why Stewart does that, because he wants to try to have that balance for his show and get Republicans to come on. But no, I mean, Maher was right. There are no major Democrats, or there are no elected Democrats who are out there flogging the 9/11 truth theory.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet we do have members of Congress, elected officials who, all of them calling Obama a socialist, and a good chunk of them that are birthers.
Yeah.
So, I know the two sides are not the same, because one is the side in power and one is a bunch of disempowered people who barely ever get heard. I don't even know if there's ever been much mainstream news coverage of whether or not of the 9/11 truth movement.
Well, maybe, you know me, happy clappy as I am, but maybe it's what people are saying, that this is a great wake up call, you know, for the sane people, you know, in order to take this back, as you write, by the next election cycle.
And I think the Olbermann incident can also point to the need for total disclosure of who's funding what organizations or candidates.
Absolutely.
You know, we know that Glenn Beck gave money to some of these 501c4s that came about in the wake of Citizens United. And, you know, there's nothing that can credit Glenn Beck any more than Glenn Beck already discredits himself. But for any organization and any news person and any member of industry or the media, that's something that we need to know, and that I think is what can come from the Olbermann incident.
Yep, absolutely. His rudeness, brilliant as usual this week. Great stuff. It is rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you.
.blogspot.com.
And on Twitter.
That's right, @rudepundit.
Exactly, and you can rude Twitter wars about fellatio between Chris Lavoie and.
It's not a Twitter war. He just asked me if he could say. Fillate me.
I think you gave him the wrong answer there. All right. Holy Papa, his rudeness. See you next week, honey.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Really? I gave him the wrong answer?
I don't think I was consulted.
Uh-oh.
I thought I have something to do with standards and practices here.
We have no standards or practices.
Oh, fillate me. 47 minutes after the hour.
That's a little hard to do.
Huh? Right, how do you know?
What? What?
Right back.
Maybe. Are you going to tell us some secrets when we come back?
Yes, right back on the Stephen Miller Show.
What? We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
When the people are not happy, it is their right, obligation, and duty to express their unhappiness, much to the regret sometimes of incumbents.
Yes, unfortunately they did it based on a lot of lies, which what the last? Where did they get those ideas from, I wonder? It was all completely incorrect.
Does it surprise you that Fox spews out lies? They have no ethics rules whatsoever.
Yes. Yeah, by the by, here are the fun facts on speaking of donations to political candidates. Sean Hannity has given almost $12,000 to Republican candidates since 2005. News Corp, the parent company, they've made multiple undisclosed donations to the Republican Governors Association, totaling at least $1.25 million in addition to $1 million contributed to the Chamber of Commerce for pro Republican election year activities. As we know, Fox News has also helped Republican candidates raise money on the air. It looks like a telethon for Republican candidates during election cycle. Fox News personalities are featured guests at Republican fundraisers. Other Fox personalities continue to help generate financial support for Republican candidates even after the elections. Yeah, no wonder Bill Kristol defended Keith Olbermann.
And all but one of the potential GOP candidates for president in 2012 are on the Fox payroll. The only person who isn't is Romney.
Olbermann said, I did not privately or publicly encourage anyone else to donate to these campaigns, nor to any others in this election or previous ones, nor have I previously donated to any political campaign at any level. They have just announced he will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
Anyway, lots of speculation on what that's all about. Let's go to Thomas in Williamsville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom. Hello.
He's not. He's still being screened. Okay, there you go.
Oh, pardon me. Okay, Thomas in Williamsville, New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Real quick, Keith Olbermann, I think what he did was wrong, and I think he should have to suffer the consequences. I'm sure he's not the only one who's done it, but he is a high-profile guy. He got nabbed, and justice was served.
Well, you know, Thomas, I think Rachel Maddow was right that at least this should put to rest forever that Fox and MSNBC are the same, or they're, you know, mirror image of images of each other. No such policy exists at Fox News. You know, and that, to me, that's like them admitting, yes, we're an arm of the Republican Party.
Well, I think both are the same. I mean, one is
really
biased toward the left, MSNBC, and Fox is biased toward the right.
Except that doesn't this incident prove exactly the opposite of what you just said, that they have a policy where they cannot contribute to candidates. Fox has no such policy.
Without telling their bosses.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Are you sure they don't have a policy?
Yes. Fox News
Thomas,
does not
What have we missed here in this incident? Fox News has no policy. Sean Hannity and others give freely to Republican candidates.
Because they're allowed to. Because they have no ethics.
Right. They should have a policy.
Exactly.
All right. Well, they don't. Thank you, Tom. All right. No more also. That's all. Thank you.
Right.
End of story. Okay. Let's go to Nora in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nora.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
I'm calling with the point that I learned from Al Franken, and that is about satire. I truly do not believe that when the Comedy Central, what's-his-dude, was having their rally, that they were not trying to seriously, they're not completely serious. And it was satire to compare them. And the way I could tell was when I watched their Monday night show, they showed incident of Fox lying after Fox lying after Fox lying. And then I got it. I was like, this is satire.
Well, yeah, of course, what they do is satire, but, you know, they still did, you know, you saw the video montages, right, Chris? I mean, they did conflate, you know, left and right, Ed Schultz and Glenn Beck, and I'm sorry, yes, I come from one side, but as Bill Moore says, there is a side that is for actual sanity, and you cannot compare it to the Michelle Bachmans and Rand Pauls and Christine O'Donnells of the world. Apple in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Apple.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to tell you that I am so glad to hear people talking about the Rally to Restore Sanity as a huge missed opportunity and ultimately a disservice to the American people. I took my kids, my teenage kids, and I drove to D.C., and I'll tell you, I had begun to wonder if it was just my imagination because I've been feeling kind of, you know, elections notwithstanding, I've been feeling kind of depressed all week. It was just like, it was this huge letdown. And I'll tell you stuff, I was there. The crowd was overwhelmingly, and I mean overwhelmingly progressive.
Sure. Of course.
It was just, I basically disagree with your previous caller. I'm very disappointed. And I think what upsets me the most is I kind of see it as part of a larger, uglier picture, which is that the political climate right now is, it's like a disgusting popularity contest, you know, mm-hmm. all of middle school. And too many decent people are inadvertently participating in what I see is just kicking the president while he's down.
Yep,
you know, I have my grievances. I do, for sure.
Yep.
But, you know, come on, people.
Yep, yeah, I know. I think there is a level of disrespect that is being shown to this president. You know, Bill Maher even pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know, even that press conference was disrespectful. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mondays with McClurg coming up next hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Moore to me, Stephanie Miller. There's a dreamy, hunky new picture of Chris up.
What?
On Facebook. It's the no on.
It's the no hate,
hate
campaign picture.
No hate with the tape across you. It's a bondage photo.
And they put a little no hate tattoo on your cheek, and they take your picture, and it was a lot of fun to do, and it raises money for a great cause.
And it gave me an idea that I would enjoy the show much more if there were tape across your mouth the entire morning. Ah, blah, 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 blah.
Have I said anything that I don't know, offensive this morning?
Oh, just my usual pronunciation.
I think you delianated that a couple times.
Thank you,
yes.
Jim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've gotten a couple of comments about
that. Let's delianate the Renaissance.
Well, and I did my little name-dropping story. I had dinner with Rob and Michelle Reiner this weekend at Moza, something. And I say it's Moza. It's Moza.
Yeah, but the waitress, when I ate there, the waitress pronounced it Moza.
It's Moza.
And she said, welcome to
the
Moza.
The point is, I had dinner with the Reiners. So anyway, so I could quote American President right to him. Which was...
And the best thing about that restaurant, instead of a sushi bar, they have a mozzarella bar. They make little things out of mozzarella.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, my God.
Like balloon animals out of mozzarella.
Mozza and mozzarella.
Mm. Yes. Oh, treat. It's so good.
Mm. Mozzarella.
Oh, you want to know something else I got wrong over the weekend? I was going for a walk with a friend, and I said, oh, there's that famous Andrew Lloyd Webber house. And she goes, do you mean Frank Lloyd Wright? And I was like, oh, that's what I meant.
Lloyd George. Yeah, that's who it was.
Stephanie. How did you get this successful?
Something with Lloyd in it.
How did you get this successful?
This is successful?
Well, I mean...
Yikes. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world. Eric Bollard, our friend, is here. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Maybe you could delineate how to pronounce the five words.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things you talk about it that is just such it's shooting fish in a barrel is the Obama's trip to India is going to cost taxpayers $2 billion.
Yeah. It was instructive, though, but a couple things were interesting. One, it just shows that sort of the right-wing media and this noise machine, it's basically built and designed to spread lies and misinformation. You know, they didn't really get this story wrong. I mean, no sane person would think the government was going to spend $200 million a day and send 34 warships to Asia for the president's visit. I mean, there's no third grader who would think that. So if you have grown men sitting behind a microphone and typing it up online, men and women, they can't possibly believe it's true. So we now know they purposely lie all the time. But what was also helpful and instructive was ABC, CNN, and a couple others really just did what they're supposed to do when they're confronted with this obvious, you know, falsification. They came out and said, you know, these people are lying. These are they're making up these facts. It's not true. And, you know, this is kind of the fact-checking or debunking they should do more often. But I think this one was just so insanely egregious
right.
that everyone was like, there's no downside to debunking this. There's not even a scintilla of doubt. This is just made-up nonsense.
But isn't this part of the fight now, Eric? I mean, you know, I don't know if you've I've been mentioning all weekend. I just thought, you know, Bill Maher was particularly good this week. But yeah. When he was interviewing Bill O'Reilly, did you happen to see that?
I didn't see that part, no.
But he was talking about, I mean, all of these lies that the American people bought and largely voted on. That, you know, didn't know that all the 95% of us got a tax cut, thought that, you know, the stimulus didn't work, didn't create any jobs.
Right.
They thought that, you know, where do you go from there?
I mean, death panels. Yeah,
right.
Yes.
And again, I think the strategy on the right is just sort of this 24/7 avalanche of lies, and it basically makes it impossible for the press to debunk it. They totally lose interest and don't even know where to pick and choose, and they just sort of turn a blind eye to it. So I think, unfortunately, I think Democrats still rely on the mainstream press to do the fact-checking. And if Al Gore didn't prove that that was a losing strategy, I don't know who did.
Well, I mean, talk about Sarah Palin is such a favorite storyline, and you say that they always forget to mention her dreadful polling numbers, wherever, you know.
She polls on par with BP. I swear, that's the fact. I mean, I think it was an NBC Wall Street Journal. She has the same approval rating as BP right now. Plurality or often majority Republicans don't want her to run, don't respect her, don't think she has leadership qualities, let alone independents and everyone. So we've never seen someone this, you know, wildly unpopular be propped up in the press.
And we can only hope that it backfires on them. It's like, good. Let's hope that the media creates her and they run her.
I think that she just corrects it to disperse her. I think that was
anyway. And then before we dive in, the only hopeful thing, like you say, them debunking, this $2 billion presidential trip was the Fox News couldn't have cared less about Andrew Breitbart and the hissy fit that he was throwing about ABC News not using him for election night.
Yeah, this is really.
He's getting too toxic even for Fox. Huh?
That's when you know your career path has taken a wrong turn. when Fox News won't defend you. But no, there's been a very interesting schism. Fox, who made Andrew Breitbart a star 12 months ago with the Acorn gotcha, which turned into the Acorn hoax, they created him. And for months now, there has absolutely been an edict, top down, do not touch this guy.
Well, because O'Reilly...
He's on at 3 a.m., but that is the only show that will have him on. And during this whole ABC thing, not a word. They did not defend him for 10 seconds. And, you know, when the Juan Williams thing popped up, it was, you know, as I wrote, it was Juanapalooza. I mean, it was just 24/7. That's all they talked about.
Right. Well, and as you said, I mean, O'Reilly had to apologize for the Shirley Sherrod thing.
Yeah.
He is
toxic at Fox News, which is... And the other interesting thing is right-wing media is absolutely disciplined. There's one for all and all for one. So for Fox News to pick up Breitbart and say, you are not a part of this team... That's pretty interesting.
What's your take, Eric?
Drive him nuts.
Yeah, exactly. What's your take before we dive in that, you know, oddly, and it may have been the reason they did it, but this MSNBC Olbermann thing, couldn't more clearly delineate the difference at this point, could it, between Fox and MSNBC?
Yeah, and that's why O'Reilly couldn't touch it Friday night. I mean, there's his nemesis getting kicked off the air, and O'Reilly couldn't touch it because if anyone at Fox News acknowledges the Olbermann story, all it does is highlight the fact that Fox News has no ethical guidelines. They all give plenty. They all wallow in this stuff. They all fundraise for Republicans. So it's interesting. Fox News can't touch it because it just shows that they have no guidelines. But if it, you know, the whole thing was sort of a total mess, I think. But if anything does come out of it, I think there will be a recognition that MSNBC is part of a news division that has real rules and real guidelines. Fox News is a partisan player.
Well, which is goes to the point I thought Bill Maher made so brilliantly, when he was talking to Jon Stewart, essentially saying, it is wrong to conflate Keith Olbermann and Glenn Beck. He said, you know, one tries to report facts, the other is close to playing with his own poo. But it's true, I mean,
is no equivalency.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Andrew Napolitano on the Fox Business Channel.
The president and his party took a shellacking, not my word, but his. This shellacking was so bad that the president, who doesn't believe in the Constitution and surely doesn't trust the free market, even said, we are doomed without private enterprise.
Wow. I must have missed that part, that the president...
I must have missed all those parts. And, you know, I watch Fox News for a living.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, I think they feel, you know, there's certain, what's the word, you know, running after the election, there's certain overconfidence that people at Fox, they'll just, I mean,
overreach.
Drunk on these victories. They're just making up anything at this point. So, Obama hates the Constitution, hates big business. It's just all that rhetoric on steroids now.
He just now announced that he believes in the Constitution and free enterprise, apparently.
That's right.
Thank God for that shellacking. Okay, Glenn back on the radio.
CARE pressured ABC Disney.
Council of American Islamic Relations, for those who don't know the
same thing with Van Jones. Van Jones, Color for Change, pressured ABC Disney, said we're going after ABC Disney unless you get rid of Andrew Breitbart on your election coverage. Now, is that the free press? Do people have a right to say things? Of course you do.
Wow.
Wait. So free speech is, if ABC doesn't invite me to be on election night coverage, my free speech has been
Yes.
And if someone doesn't agree with Andrew Breitbart and voices that opinion, that is censorship. I mean, it's down the rabbit hole at this point.
Yeah.
It's all whatever. But again, here's Glenn Beck on his radio show defending Breitbart, but will not say boo on his Fox TV show. Again, more proof to me that there has been an edict from Fox News top down. Breitbart does not get mentioned except at 3 a.m.
T, and then a he. All right. Gordon Chang on the Fox and Friends.
Yes.
Well, you know, in Asia, it might not matter so much because, except with the exception of the South Koreans, most Asians, when they wanted something from Washington, they called the State Department, not the White House, because it was Hillary Clinton was the one who could stand toe-to-toe with the region's bullies, the Chinese, and not come off second best. And Obama, when he went to Beijing last November, came back humiliated and empty-handed. So, you know, Asians know that the person in Washington who wears the pants, both literally and figuratively, is Hillary.
Those inscrutable Asians. You know what they're like.
Those darn Asians.
Sexist.
Where do you get that from? Sharon Engel?
Yeah. She's wearing the pants. The man pants.
Was Obama trying to negotiate some sort of treaty with China that I didn't know about? He came back empty-handed.
Yeah. Yes, I guess I must have missed that story as well.
That part, too.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, Eric Boulder remains in the sidecar. We continue with Right Wing World after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Slide Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1, do the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim, have a very timely guest quote for you, who said, let this incident, speaking of Olbermann, lay to rest forever, the facile, never true in any way, lazy conflation of Fox News and what the rest of us do for a living. Everybody likes to say, oh, that's cable news, it's all the same, Fox and MSNBC, mirror image of each other. Let us lay that to rest forever. Hosts on Fox raise money on the air for Republican candidates. They use their Fox News profiles to headline fundraisers. Heck, there are multiple people being paid by Fox News now to essentially run as Republican candidates. There is no rule against that at Fox. They run as a political operation. We are not. Who said that?
Samuel Clemens.
No, good guess. Rachel Maddow.
Close.
All right. Eric Bollert rejoins us from Media Matters to finish up Right Wing World. Hugh Hewitt on the Fox News. Eric.
And here's what I do. If you're one of these new governors, you appoint yourself a new secretary of stopping Obamacare. You've got to find the smartest lawyer you can in your state, and you name them the secretary of stopping Obamacare. And just as you said, when you see Obamacare rolling out, destroying the insurance of so many people, seniors getting thrown off the rolls, it becomes politically very potent, and you'll convert some of these Democrat senators.
Yeah. If you find a smart lawyer, he's going to laugh in your face.
The Republican strategy of litigation.
Yeah. How do you fight against lies like that? Yeah. I mean, every single word in that statement was a lie.
I know. It's amazing.
Ugh.
Well, I mean, this is, but you know, what we're seeing in record time, aren't we, Eric? Like, what's going to happen now? What fresh horror is going to be visited on us in the wake? I mean, we were talking earlier that a lot of these Republican governors have already said the rail projects are done.
Yeah.
You know, Done.
Yeah,
canceled.
Kasich, I think I read Kasich immediately is killing a light rail project.
Yeah.
Classic infrastructure.
Yeah.
That'll go over well.
Yeah. You know, this is the way you put people back to work. And the first thing these Republican governors are doing are putting the stops on jobs programs.
Morons.
Because they come from the Obama administration. So they can't be good jobs. They must be bad jobs.
Well, what are the politics going to be, do you think, of health care? I mean, here we have 32 million Americans on health care, not getting dropped for pre-existing conditions, you know, having their kids on until they're 26. What happens? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just if they're able to start doing this.
I don't know. The Republicans have no chance of repealing, obviously, with Obama having the veto. I think they'll spend a lot of the next 2 years, attacking it and try to repealing parts of it or just sort of making noise about it.
Is it wrong to already have a dream, that the entire map just goes solid blue in 2012 when people realize
could
what
happen.
They... Yeah.
But Obama needs to go on the air and say, this is what the health care plan is, this is what it
yep.
isn't.
Yep.
They are lying here, and here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I didn't hear
back
that
it up.
60 Minutes last night.
Yeah.
right. Rich Lowry on Hannity.
The day after Will healthcare passed, they said, now we get to the business of selling it. And they spent almost a year trying to sell it. It's just that people don't like the dog food.
Right. You know, and I use the phrase dog food advisedly.
Well, you know, by the way, we've won that debate, haven't they, Eric? I mean, a lot of the media like to go, well, isn't it the people do understand the policies, they just don't like them. That's what this midterm meant. But if you go in the polling, the problem is they don't, Eric. In many cases, they bought the Fox News lies.
Yeah, you know, it's a combination of Fox News lies, and probably most people would say Democrats didn't do a very good job of selling what they did do. But look, there's this whole new noise machine. I mean, Media Matters has been talking about this Republican noise machine since we were founded 6 years ago. It is 10 times stronger than it was
yep.
just 6 years ago, let alone the Clinton years, when Clinton White House could do a very good job of selling. Democrats, I think, have to realize, in terms of the media landscape, they are up against this very loud machine. And as the Hugh Hewitt clip showed, we'll just make stuff up every other sentence. They'll make stuff up about India. They'll just make up everything.
Mm-hmm.
And as for right now, the other side doesn't have a blueprint, I don't think, for how to deal with that.
Yep. And O'Reilly doing his part.
It's warfare. It's war. Really, the undercurrent is the right believes Obama's the devil, he's a socialist, and Obama believes in social justice, and that's what he's going to do.
They just
those are equal things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just things that people believe. There are no facts. It's just stuff.
Yeah, I love when O'Reilly says things like, some say, or people believe, and it's like, because of Fox News.
Yeah. Right. And in fact, back to the India thing, on Special Report, you know, Brett Hume and Brett Baird, you know, the so-called serious show, on Friday they pointed out that some people had, spread this misinformation about the India trip. Like, yeah, the entire morning staff on Fox News was doing it. So I love it when the Fox News is responsible for misinformation, but then they're never called out for it on their own network.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what O'Reilly tried to pull on the Maher show this week. It's just, Bill, I'm a analyst. I'm not. You're not. You keep confusing us with the news guys. That's different. It's like, it is not different at Fox News. That's
it's all the same.
Yep.
All right. Eric Bollert, brilliant stuff from Media Matters as usual. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right. There he goes.
Oh, bless
see, I
heart.
Don't notice his phone manners because most men can't wait to get off the phone with me. Story of my life.
You know what, though? You kind of do the same thing.
Do I?
Yeah, you say goodbye as you're setting the phone down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
No,
yeah,
it's you.
Oh, it's me?
No, it's you.
Okay.
I just can't wait to get off the phone with you.
Do you blame you?
No, I don't blame you.
Okay.
Me. What?
Huh? What?
All right. All right, so the president talking about the midterms. We will be back to talk all about that as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is you're nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You represent Earth's best, then.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Moments from the Mondays with McClurg, the delightful comedic confection that is Edie McClurg.
I'm sure she has some commentating to do. There are a lot of things to commentate on.
Indeed. We have not spoken to her since the midterms.
That's right.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. James in Virginia would like to apply to be the Frank Luntz of the left. Hello, James.
Good morning, Steph. I want to be the Frank Luntz of the Stephanie Miller Show this morning.
All right, then.
I have three of them. The first one, anytime anybody says Fox, the next word should be Republican, the Fox Republican news channel, the Fox Republican channel. Every time, just like in the, last week or before last week, every time Stephanie said Marco, Chris said
Rubio.
Rubio. Yeah, like maybe on, the Huckabee and Hannity shows, they should have those numbers like McDonald's under them showing how much money they're currently giving to Republican candidates.
So it's the Fox Republican channel or the Fox Republican news channel. Number two, if we they want to stop Obamacare, the next word we should shout out is freeloaders. If you don't want to have everybody covered by health insurance, then they want freeloaders. They're willing to accept freeloaders in the system. I think we should use the word freeloaders. The third thing is regarding Social Security. If they want to have privatized accounts, we already have privatized accounts. They call them IRAs. They call them 401ks. We already have that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's yep. True. Exactly.
That's,
exactly.
That's my free for today. So
all
Fox.
Right.
The Fox.
Thank you, Frank Luntz.
The Fox Republican channel.
There you go. Thank you. We went back to that. All right. He circled
thank
back.
Thank you for delineating that.
Thank you, Jim. Jason in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jason.
Hello. I had a revelation a couple of days ago, and I think there's a piece missing from the Citizens United discussion. Who does this decision benefit the most? Now, we know that most of the money is going to go to Republican candidates or on behalf of Republican candidates because the corporations see them as more favorable.
Right.
We know that the money is going to be coming from the corporations.
By the way,
we're not allowed to know which one.
By the way, I'm fixated on Bill Maher this morning for some reason, but he was so great, Jason, but that was one of the things about talking about false conflations, you know, Fox News and MSNBC, but he also said, you know, just sort of this meme that, oh, corporations, unions are just as powerful as corporations, and oh, they're giving it, and you're right, that is absolutely a load of bull.
Yes, but who does it benefit the most? Nobody's talking about, we know who this money is being spent on behalf of, we're not allowed to know who it's being spent by,
right.
But who is it being spent to?
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying the media?
Rupert Murdoch,
well,
Ted Turner, and the small handful of very powerful media holders. Yes.
Well, Jason, when political ads are bought, they are bought at the lowest available rate. So actually, media outlets kind of lose money by taking political advertisements when they could be selling it to at a much higher rate to, you know, other interests.
But we would like to thank Meg Whitman for the giant bags of cash that
That's
she
right.
dropped here at KTLK Los Angeles, among other doorsteps in California.
That's right.
We're always happy to help.
Yeah.
Let's go to, hey, Liz, less money for her racist sons. I'm happy. You know
exactly.
And they made liberal radio more profitable.
Thanks, you.
Meg. Thank you for the money.
We thank you for your support. Stuart.
Meg Whitless.
Yes,
Stuart in
me?
Seattle. Hey, Stu.
Okay. People have been blaming the Democratic loss on poor messaging by the president and the Democrats. I think we miss a much bigger point. The wealthiest, greediest few control 95% or more of our public airwaves. We
Thank
need
you.
To retake our public airwaves.
Now you're talking my language.
Yes. We need 50% or more of the airwaves controlled by people like you, Tom Hartman, Amy Goodman.
Well, you know, Stuart, we've talked about this till we're blue in the face, but honestly, that's the other thing that Democrats need to regroup now, and that is just part of it. And yes, it's the part that has to do with
Stephanie Miller.
So it's the most important part. But it is part. But when you talk about, Stuart, all of these, you know, polling numbers that show American people literally believe the opposite of what's true, you're absolutely right that is part of it, right? The ways media is reaching them. The fact that, you know, right-wing radio can, those lies can get repeated ad nauseum on thousands of stations across the country. And so anyway, but what we've said over and over, the Fairness Doctrine is not coming back. You need to, wealthy Democrats need to buy stations, like a lot of, you know, the right-wing people own stations. So, at any rate. Chris Van Hollen, our friend, said his time as head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has come to an end. Two cycles really is the maximum, he said, most people have done. He also said Democrats should not block Nancy Pelosi from returning. I guess that was a surprise to some people. But, you know, I agree with Rude Pundit on this. I don't know about you, Jim, but I'm like, she's been an amazingly effective Speaker of the House.
That's why they hate her so much.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
They wouldn't attack someone who's ineffective. They want to keep them around.
Yeah.
Like Michael Steele, for example.
Exactly. She expressed confidence that she will be elected minority leader and calls for the party to further modernize and communicate the message that helped them win the House in 2006. Her focus on message implies Democrats lost the seats in the House because of a failure to communicate effectively about the agenda the party delivered rather than public disapproval of the policies.
I disagree.
To
communicate.
Yeah, but I agree, don't you? I mean, that's the thing, is unfortunate. That's the sad thing, is when you go in polling, people want everything the Democrats did.
The
they just don't know they
Democrats
did.
Democrats make all the time.
Yes.
They think it's not necessary to advertise.
Right.
You know, facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, like Obama
you
said,
have to sell it.
We focused on policy and not on the politics, and here you go. She said, in the 2006 election, with our new direction and 6 for 6 message, we spoke with great clarity and unity, and we won. Now we must further modernize not only the message, but the way in which we communicate with constituents.
I think Don Draper needs to be Speaker of the House.
I talk about unity. It's what we've talked about on this show, is that... I got that. It's a Mad Men thing. Okay.
Oh, wow. You watch Mad Men? Really?
I know what he means. Okay. No, but that's exactly it. I think this is a wake-up call to everybody, and part of it is that... is that, you know, we're going to see the horror that has been visited upon us by this. And if this doesn't get, you know, Democrats together on our side, I don't know what's going to. The president.
But it also requires me to make some mid-course corrections and adjustments.
No!
And how those themselves out over the next several months will be a matter of me being in discussions with the Republican Party, which is now going to be controlling the House of Representatives.
Well,
okay.
What do you mean by adjustments? Like bow down further?
Well,
try
no,
to
but
reach
here,
out more.
Yeah, you know, this,
the Republicans.
This has come up before about the filibuster, Jim, and I. You know, a lot of this too is even I'm not that clear
on
all the filibuster rules.
The filibuster is only
not in the House.
No, but my point is, people have been talking about, and even the person that wrote to us wasn't actually talking about doing away with it.
No,
she was talking about reforming it. Yes.
She wrote another letter to us trying to explain.
Right. But there is part of me going, okay, why didn't we do this, you know, when we took power? But, you know, the thing is, I don't think anybody realized what incredible wall of obstructionism was going to happen. You can only change them at the beginning of the term, correct?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, I guess we couldn't have done it already, you know, when we started. Because, but if these last 2 years don't show you how much obstructionism we're going to be up against, I agree with what's-his-name, Dan Coats, the Republican in Indiana, has endorsed filibuster reform.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not doing away with it. In the analysis of this, I thought was interesting. To be clear, the actual rule change that he pledged to support is fairly modest. Present Senate rules permit senators to filibuster both the beginning and end of debate on most bills. Coates' proposal would eliminate pre-debate filibusters, but still give senators an opportunity to filibuster before a bill can receive a final up or down vote. Nevertheless, because the Senate's rules also now allow the minority to force up to 30 hours of delay every time a filibuster is broken, Coates' proposal would be a meaningful step towards eliminating a minority's power to delay virtually all Senate business into oblivion. I mean, let's not forget, we still control the Senate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this is pretty critical
so
going forward.
Be a good time to reform the whole filibuster thing.
That's my point. Yes. As Coates admits, his willingness to support any limits on obstructionism would be a change of tactics from what's happened in the past couple of years. Since Obama took office, Jim DeMint and others have claimed the right to veto any legislation his office has not personally approved, and because the Senate's rules requires unanimous consent to get much of anything done, DeMint has largely gotten his way. Clearly, he's newly empowered. He thinks, you know, the Tea Party, like I said, I mean, the vast majority of them lost, but he thinks for some reason they're, you know, in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
Although it normally requires 67 votes to change the Senate rules, there's a brief window next January where a majority of the Senate can reform the body's rules. Were they to do so, they'd have popular opinion on their side. A recent poll shows 2/3 of voters want to scrap the filibuster, including a majority of Republicans.
Well, not scrap it.
Reform
amend it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Nancy Pelosi on her...
It's never been about me. It's about how our caucus goes forward to fight...
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do use the lame session, lame duck session to get through. I mean, the House passed a lot of great bills under her. The Senate has been the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Shuler, a Blue Dog. Oh, was he one of the Blue? Did he win? Is he the only Blue Dog that won? Or?
Apparently.
Well, there has to be a viable alternative. We got swept away, and I use the old football analogy. I've been in that situation. You know, where you lose games, they replace you.
Yeah, well, guess what? Most of the conservatives, bye-bye.
All right. Take care now.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, then.
Which, you know, could go to the argument, Jim, that this was not... It's people like them that stopped the kind of health care reform, for instance, that the American people want, which was largely single-payer and or the public option when this whole debate began. Mm-hmm. So
it's the downside to the 50-state strategy that we got a lot of those people on board.
Those people. Curtis in Seattle. In case you haven't noticed, they're blue.
Hello.
Curtis, hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
It's me and my big dog sitting here listening to you.
What kind?
A Rottweiler.
He's a good boy. Hi.
Oh, he's a big boy. Big puppy.
Yeah.
Hey, I was wondering, you know, all this good legislation that the last Congress passed, and when the new Congress takes effect, does that legislation get trashed or thrown away, or can Harry Reid pick and choose from that if he wants to?
The legislation that has already passed. Well, this is what they're talking about.
The stuff that hasn't passed yet.
Oh, that hasn't.
Like, what, 200 bills sitting in there?
Well, that's what we're saying, is we think they should try to put as much through during the lame duck as they possibly can.
And they can, well, in the lame duck, but what about next Congress? Are those bills still valid when the
House
Congress goes into effect?
Okay, you're talking about the bills that have already passed the House.
Yes, bills that have already passed the House. When the next Congress goes into effect, are those bills still good or are they trashed?
Well, that's a good question. Chris, do you know the answer to that? I don't know.
Well, the president has to sign them before the new Congress comes in January.
Right.
If they're passed by the House. Right.
Well, I know there's a logjam of bills that were passed by the House that have not been passed, and that's why I'm saying I think they need to get as much done as they can in the lame duck. But anyway, we will check on that and let you know as we continue. 46 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Big place where dreams come true.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Okay.
What?
Can I just say what I don't know what you were talking about, something about a plane, but I you know when you're on a plane and you're watching a film? And you have a headset on, so you're not really aware that other people are listening to you.
Yeah.
I was on a plane recently with a friend, and she's watching Toy Story, and she just really loudly goes, uh-oh, which I just loved. I just love an adult saying, uh-oh, about something that's going to happen to a cartoon character. I'm like, did you just say, uh-oh, about something that's going to...
This is going to be bad!
What? Did I say that out loud?
I love that people think they can help the characters, particularly in animated films. That, you know, they can warn them before something bad befalls them.
Who watches Toy Story on a plane?
I don't know, what was on? You know, you watch what you just. It's just cute.
Right.
Uh oh. Okay, let's. Hey, how anybody want some boner? Why not?
Who the members decide on to be in their leadership is their decision, and I'm going to respect that decision.
Apparently, they want to wake up with a weeping orange boner, but you know, it seems to be the way the vote's going to go. Let's go to Keith in Columbus here on the Stephanie Miller Show, speaking of boner country. Hello, Keith.
Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to say I'm feeling a lot better about President Obama this morning because I watched the 70 minutes full of the 60-minute interview, so the full version that's on the web. And it reminded me when he went to speak to the Republican caucus, and he just made them look like complete idiots. And I want people to start talking about question time again so that once a month he can go in there and talk about things, quote-unquote, that the American people care about, and to bring back another term from the past so that he can triangulate by bringing up one or two key things that the Tea Party is that's important to them, but that their Republican overlords.
Overlords, yes.
There you go. Will go crazy.
In your case, you have an orange overlord in Ohio.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. yeah, I know. That's exactly it, though. It is time to get really smart politically, Jim, right, in terms of really demonstrating how extreme some of these Tea Party candidates, for instance, that they've elected are.
Hmm.
By the way, so the tax cut, Glenn, an income of $250,000 a year is dead as the dividing line for distinguishing the middle class and extending the Bush tax cuts, according to Democratic aid. Instead, the negotiations will begin around with a threshold of $500,000 or $1 million. President Obama said this week he would make a new push to protect the middle class from the tax cut scheduled expiration. The new figures means a broader swath of Americans would be considered middle class during the negotiations.
Hmm.
A higher threshold is more inclusive and doesn't make an enemy out of households that may be slightly above 250 but are still firmly in the middle class, said one aide. It also simplifies the contrast message by making it clear what Republicans are fighting for, a tax cut that is literally for millionaires.
So if you make $999,999,
you're
middle class.
I guess so.
Oh, I found a dollar. Oh, damn it!
Democrats say even if the figure went as high as $1 million, though, the result would still be very helpful to deficit reduction because the bulk of the cost of extending the Bush tax cuts come from those who make more than $1 million, not those from 250 to $1 million. I mean, to me, whatever we need to do to start winning politically and going,
yeah,
they are literally for millionaires that do not need these tax cuts and in many cases don't even want them. You know, I mean, how many people have we, you know, from Buffett to millions of people, mm-hmm, have said these aren't. I mean, Bill Maher pointed it out again this week that you know, what was it under Reagan, what the tax rates were? Mm-hmm. It was 90% under Eisenhower.
Right, yeah.
It's like we're not anywhere. The fact that we're arguing about 36 or 39% or, I mean, it's. All right. Obama said yesterday, I want to make my priorities clear from the start. One, middle-class families need permanent tax relief. And two, I believe we can't afford to borrow and spend another $700 billion on permanent tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. And, you know, and that's exactly how we have to frame it. Let's go to Don in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
What?
Yes, go ahead, Don.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, Democrats want to kill with facts. Republicans just want to kill. We list and list and list all the things that President Obama done, but that didn't help squat come to election time. Every time a Hugh Hewitt or somebody says that Obamacare is going to blah, 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 the president needs to be out there saying, here's what you're getting. He needs to go out all the time and reaffirm it, but he's not doing that. All
right.
I'm hearing all of his talks now, mm-hmm, and he's going to compromise. He's going to compromise,
yeah, well,
everything that we have.
Right. Don, I mean, that's exactly it, Jim, is like you say, we cannot continue to underestimate the power of lies. You've got to,
exactly.
I mean, that you think, oh, well,
you
that's ridiculous. Who's going
to
believe that?
Negate them immediately. Democrats have fallen for that since Michael Dukakis.
Right. I mean, and maybe it's begun with just this stupid, the president's trip is going to cost us, you know,
yeah,
what is it, $2 billion?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to get on
yeah,
the horn immediately,
right,
and say, well, okay, here's all the trips that Reagan took. Here are, mm-hmm, the trips that the Bushes took.
I think the White House needs to understand that there's a whole swath of people that don't marinate in politics,
right,
all day long,
right,
like we do, and that they are easily swayed by what they hear in the media. And if the right wing gets out,
especially,
there in the media first, that's who they believe,
especially
first,
since Fox is on basic cable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. You think, gee, is there a moron that really thinks that Afghanistan costs $190 million? It's a day and a trip that the president takes.
I don't think
more,
they're morons. I,
yes,
just think, you know, they don't pay as close attention.
Apparently,
as we do.
Yes, there are morons to,
oh,
think that.
Mm-hmm.
Melanie in Toronto. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
I have two things. First, I would like to be the official American citizen living in Canada of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! So done.
Thank you. I have the biggest crush on Chris. That's,
aww,
the next thing.
Thank
and
you.
I would like
look
to
at his
know,
dreamy new picture
I need
on Facebook.
Sleep with or do whatever to get you on the Bill Maher Show.
Oh, I don't know. I don't,
come on, it's got to be somebody. Just tell me who it is.
I don't
know. Be like sisters. I'll do what I got to do.
That's right.
Maybe because I'm not a sister.
No.
Well, there's Ariana Huffington, and she's on all the time.
She's volunteering too.
Oh, good.
I'll do it.
All right.
Because Stephanie, what he did this weekend was so amazing.
Wasn't it?
It was. I was watching Bill O'Reilly, and he was trying to, you know, act like, you know, Bill was getting ratings because of him, and
yeah,
Bill just shut him down. It was so great. It,
yep,
was so great. And then when he did his, you know, last bit of thing that he does there at the end, that was. I really have to say, I love Jon Stewart, and I really was going to drive down there. I'm not well, so I was going to drive down to D.C. and be there. But I really feel like he was not getting what's really what, because there's no way,
right,
Keith Olbermann is Glenn
back. There's no way.
Right. And that's the thing, Mel, is you and I aren't saying everybody on our side is, you know, perfect all the time.
We got balloons too, but you got to admit right. that, like, you know, when you think about, you know, the level of crazy on the right, I mean, sometimes I'm in a chat room or something and I'm listening to people and I'm like, they can't really believe that, can they?
Yeah.
But they really, really do. They really do. And it's because of Fox News. And I really wish that Jon Stewart had taken this amazing 200 plus thousand people and said, listen, you do two things. You stop listening to Fox and you go vote.
Right. Yeah, you know, no,
that
exactly.
Been, to me, that would have been just the icing on the cake, and it would have just been very,
right,
very
because I think, unfortunately, that's the storyline people bought in these midterms. Oh, they're all the same. We just hate everybody. And
we'll
all,
have
and,
to leave it there.
Yeah, thanks. All right, 58 minutes
and we will
the
have
hour.
To leave it there. We have a hard break.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mondays with McClurg is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, of course it is. Why? Because this hour is brought to you by Carbonite. One of our very favorite sponsors. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. Support the sponsors that support us, won't you? Oh, for instance, where's my butter commercial? I'd like to welcome a new sponsor here to KTLK Los Angeles. Oh, this was made for me. Pacifica In-Home Solutions. If you need help doing, well, you know, like me, everything... You know, they clean, they cook, they do laundry, they run errands, prepare meals, they can, and pricing to fit most budgets, by the way. It's not as expensive as you think. Call 1-866-343-9509, 9509, Pacifica In-Home Solutions. Thank you. All right, kids, you know what, it's Monday.
Can they do that without judging you?
Yes, there's no judgment. Oh, I hear that delightful voice. It must
sounds
be.
Like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
Good morning, Edie McClurg.
No judgment. No judgment.
No judgment. What, so we have not spoken since the midterm elections. When last we left you were urging people to get out and vote the next day.
Please. And then what happened?
Yes, that's what I'm asking you, because since you are the one with commentating notes.
These have nothing to do with the election.
What? No, because you're very politically involved. What do you we've been, obviously there's been a lot of, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking. And
yes.
Now it literally is Monday morning, and you are the quarterback.
The Democrats failed to sell the message. They just assumed. Everyone knew.
Well, I think a lot of this is left over from Karl Rove and the Bush administration and the henchmen that surround and rotate around them.
Yes.
And they've just been lying in wait. And now
yes.
They have struck with impunity. They lie, they cheat, they steal.
Yes, well, this is not new.
Not new.
Discount Citizens United and just avalanche of money pouring into right-wing candidates.
Right.
God knows where.
Right. But, you know, Edie, I've been talking all morning. I thought, you know, when Bill Maher, of course, friend of yours, you've been on the show a lot, but I just thought did a great job this week.
He did.
You know,
he did.
Really.
I was really, very pleased.
Right. But, I mean, and part of it was taking on Jon Stewart and saying, you know, I'm sorry, you can't conflate both sides. You need to pick a side here. And the problem
and you
is.
You had bully pulpit at that point.
And they have bullies. Exactly.
Right. He could
but, I mean, you just, yeah. And that's why, I mean, I'm so glad, Keith, if you hadn't heard the news, the breaking news, Keith Olbermann will be back tomorrow. I had my panties all in a twist about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I'm telling you, I'm not saying every person on our side is right or always approaches it the right way, but Keith Olbermann has been standing up to, I think, what he perceives as the bullies for a long time. And I think, you know, if, Jim, did you look at the races he gave in, Rahul Grijalva and the guy running against Rand Paul?
Mm-hmm.
And they, first of all, no. Rand Paul's supporter is the one that, like, stepped on a woman's head. Rahul Grijalva has been the target of the most racist, horrible kind of death threats. And you know, as you say, Jim, maybe with the Citizens United, I mean, it just, and he sees how much money is going in, is supporting some of these bullies on the other side. And, you know, so at any rate, I mean.
It was a case where they were trying to shoot the messenger, and they did. They took away his pulpit there for a bit.
But it does point out the fact that when we do something like that, people get suspended for it.
Yeah.
At Fox, it's business as usual.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's a top-down decision.
Yeah. No, exactly, exactly. But, you know, I mean, it's I think that's the whole, we have to figure out how to take back the debate, don't we? Because, I mean, that's the thing that is so infuriating, and I think Bill pointed out to Bill O'Reilly, that, you know, on a lot of these different issues, voters voted the way they did because they were completely wrong. They had the wrong information. They had, you know, they had obviously bought the lies from right-wing radio and Fox
News. Obama has
to
stop apologizing. I'm sorry that all the wrong things we did, that we got that shellacking that we deserved.
I was very sorry to hear how he was talking on 60 Minutes the other night.
I didn't
just
see it.
Made me crazy.
What in what?
Oh,
what?
It was all kind of, oh, I'm kind of conciliatory, and yes, we've done
reach
some things
out to the
wrong,
other side.
And we've got
and
to, yeah, it was
well, that's
just,
but that's the thing, and the meme on the other side is that he's arrogant.
Right.
And it just, it's like.
The more humble you get, the more they accuse you of being arrogant.
Yeah. Governor Chris Christie, Republican in New Jersey.
It's put up or shut up time for our party. You know, we lost our way last decade, David, we did. And the people expect us to do better. And if the Republican Party wants to come back, they now have to do what they said they were going to do.
Oh, they are. Check this out. Within hours of declaring victory, the incoming Tea Party governors of Wisconsin and Ohio stood fast on pledges to kill $1.2 billion in funding for high-speed rail in their states. The funding part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act will revert to the federal government for investment in other states unless Republicans in Congress are able to kill that, too. So there you
so
go.
So everybody will just be walking along with their thumb out trying to get to work and... Gee, many Christmas.
And Ohio could use a few jobs, by the way,
yeah.
Among other places. Yeah. And he said that in his victory speech, right, Kasich? He said, that train's dead.
Oh, man.
And he's proud of it.
Yeah.
All the jobs lost.
Yeah.
Great.
Meanwhile, Paul Ryan talking about health care.
We're going to do everything we can to try and repeal and replace this thing. And ultimately, I think 2013 is when it will be done the right way.
Yeah, and they'll replace it with exactly the same things that Obama did. Yep. But they'll take credit
and
for
it. And it's been pointed out so many times, Jim, this was Bob Dole's health care plan.
Bob Dole thinks that passed the health care plan. Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole ought to stop referring to Bob Dole in third person.
But this is exactly what Mara was talking about, right? That they keep moving so far to the right and then accusing us. I mean, oh, we got to come to them. It's like,
well, sure.
You're falling off the Himmler cliff. We don't have to come to you. But this is the problem. They keep moving and moving and moving. This health care plan is far from socialist. It was the Republican plan.
Yeah, Nixon looks
a few
like
years ago.
A raving liberal now compared to these guys.
Yeah.
Eric Cantor, yesterday.
I am not for raising taxes in a recession, especially when it comes to job creators that we need so desperately to start creating jobs again.
See, there's the media, Jim. Who followed up and said, really, why aren't they? They've had these tax cuts.
Yes.
Why aren't they? Where are the jobs?
They were set to expire automatically on December 31st.
Yeah.
George Bush signed it.
Can we start blubbering where are the jobs on the House floor like the Boner does?
Yeah. Where are the jobs from the tax cuts for millionaires?
Mm. The president, once again, stating facts. I'm not sure if this will help at all. But
we've now seen private sector job growth for 10 straight months. That means that since January, the private sector has added 1.1 million jobs.
Did you see
Math
Paul...
has a liberal bias, so
yeah.
You can just ignore it. Mm.
Did you see Paul Krugman on just... Boy, it's not if you're in a happy, clappy mood. It's just he's kind of like, well, we are screwed.
Mm-hmm.
We are. What show was he on yesterday, Jim? It was CNN.
I was on a plane.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's just basically, we're screwed. We are screwed. You know, and again, you know, goes to his argument. If the stimulus had been bigger and we'd been able to move things a little faster, this might not have happened. However, he basically...
But Obama was being conciliatory.
And yeah, but that's what
the Republicans had to say.
Right, and this whole divided government we apparently voted for, if you read his piece, Divided We Fail, if you haven't read it, you should go back and read it, because All right, let's go to Julie in Tacoma. You're on with Edie McClurg. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
Hello.
I was wondering if seeing Chris Levert is the official Democratic atheist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Could
yes.
I be the unofficial?
All right, fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, recall last week I got a robocall from James Dobson. And so
did
last
you know?
Night I found out that next election is here because I got a robocall from the Republican College kids or something like that.
Mm.
And they gave me five choices of who I wanted to be president next time. And
uh-huh.
number one was Romney, Gingrich, Hutchison, Palin. And number five was, and did you want to retain Barack Obama? So, of course, I hit number five, and then it said, and if you don't want us to call you again, call this number.
Yeah.
So they're out there already raring
yep.
to go, Steph.
Yep, and we need to be, too. Exactly right. Let's go to Steve in Kansas. You're on with Edie McClurg as well. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, here's the deal. I've been listening since the election disaster Tuesday night to these Republicans talk about all these different issues and what they're going to cut. They've had 4 years to plan this stuff, and there are no specifics. There are no numbers. They're just, we're going to cut this, we're going to cut that, we're going to cut that. I talked to our local or our district's congresswoman this morning. It was the same thing. And if I could skate around issues that well, I would be on the Food Network and not Brian Boitano.
That's funny.
What would Brian Boitano think?
What would he do? That's the important thing.
Spin.
He would do a sit spin. Denon in Mobile, Alabama on the lame duck session. Hi, Denon.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, this is Denon. Hey,
yes, go ahead.
I'm calling to discuss an issue that should be brought up in the lame duck session of Congress.
What's that?
It's the FAA reauthorization bill. We need to be putting the pressure on the Democrats to bring it up for a vote, you know, before January. The extension expires December 31st. And there's an amendment in the House version of the bill called the Express Carrier Protection Act that would help FedEx workers that would reclassify under the National Labor Relations Act like UPS drivers and make it easier for us to form a union. Right now, all workers at FedEx, regardless of what they do, whether they're a truck driver, a handler, or a vehicle mechanic, are classified as aviation employees for the sole purpose of limiting our ability to organize. And the House version of the FAA bill would reclassify all FedEx Express ground workers under the National Labor Relations Act, like I said, just like UPS drivers. Well, the problem is that the
You're saying you absolutely positively have to have this done by tomorrow.
Yes, we have to have it done during the lame duck session or it doesn't get done at all because, you know, Republicans. But usually agency authorizations get bipartisan support when they come up for the final bill. So if the Senate leadership would bring the bill up for a vote,
yep.
it would pass. But so far, Senator Rockefeller, who's the chair of the Transportation Committee in the Senate, will not allow the bill to be brought up for a vote for some reason, and it's because of the pro-labor provision in the House bill. He doesn't want to deal with it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he was not coming up for air. All right. I get what the issue is. People have their single issues that I understand are important to them. But there, you know, the problem is there's an awful lot that could get done in this lame duck. There are a lot of great House bills that got passed that are jammed up in the Senate that I think they should use this time for.
Absolutely, because time's wasting.
Yeah, and he missed my joke, too, about it. Absolutely positively have to be there overnight. Okay, 18 minutes after the... If you miss my joke, that's it. Then you got to go. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Mondays with McClurg on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, Chris LaVoy over the weekend. Jim, he has learned the...
What?
The sad pain of having the racist boot on his neck.
What? No, some friends of mine and I went to dim sum.
Yes.
And there were three Caucasians, including me, and then one of us was Chinese. And we were the only three Caucasians in the entire place, so they just threw some forks at us. You know, they
assuming
figured,
that you don't know how to use chopsticks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does it feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my friend, Chinese friend Mike, said, "Now you know how it feels when I go places, being the only Chinese guy."
Mm-hmm. Let that be a lesson to you. We are in the midst of the Mondays with McClurg, Edie McClurg. Edie, what you're reading your own commentating notes at this point?
Yes. It was just this woman in Iowa, who's a quite an elderly woman, and she has been going into the federal building and drawing an outline of a body and then lying down in it.
Oh dear.
Protesting.
Was she a Tea Party candidate?
She chalks the outline of her body and lies quietly within it until security guards, because she's against the war in Iraq. And
there's a reason. See? Yeah. It's not just a crazy thing.
They eventually lift her into a wheelchair and escort her out of the building. And she's also been fined $100 every now and again. And now she's been arrested.
See, just the right combination of commitment and free time. See what you can accomplish with your day?
But, I mean, would you take a picture and look at that little old lady?
Aww.
Would you be
that's very
tossing her out on
Rand
her
Paul's
going
to send someone to stomp on her head.
Oh, that's right. We should have head
that's
stompers.
That's a little tiny outline.
Go to the head stompers ball. Yata-yata.
How about this guy in Florida. A 48-year man parked his car in front of a courthouse, pulled down his shorts in front of a sheriff's detective, and began masturbating.
Why?
Upon looking at the bottle the defendant was holding, he said he was just applying hemorrhoid cream to himself. Upon looking at the bottle the defendant was holding, it was not hemorrhoid cream, it was KY warming jelly, according to the report. But that was a nice try.
Hemorrhoid cream makes
maybe
the tissues
it was a chilly
shrink.
Day.
It's probably not the wisest.
Maybe he just wanted to warm his hemorrhoid and not get rid of it. Some people are very attached to them. Let's go to Pat in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you
good.
Today?
Go ahead.
Good. You know, I hope you don't take the wrong lesson from the midterm election. What midterm elections are about is turnout. And if they didn't keep throwing their base under the bus every opportunity, maybe more people would have shown up. When people break for you, when a particular minority breaks for you, 7 or 8 to 1, like gay people do, then maybe you should stop bashing gay people.
Right.
Pat,
I think, but here's the, I agree with you, but here's the problem I wonder, too, is they also say the big story of this election is all the independents broke back for Republicans. So how do you do both? How do you keep your base happy and get the supposedly the people in the middle?
Well, maybe the independents who didn't show up weren't really independents but Democrats, and the independents who did show up weren't really independents but Republicans.
Or maybe the independents are just schizophrenic in this country.
I mean, we shouldn't be catering to the people who can't make up their minds anyway.
As Bill Maher says, pick a side, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, and he put it in very simple terms. You know, he's been in L.A. since, 83? He's like, I can see it now because liberal Democrats put in policies that cleaned our air up, you know. It's true. We can see the mountain right out our window there. We didn't used to be able to see that.
No, well, it was always had
just
that.
Just rained.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but it always had a brownish gray line.
LA's beautiful after it rains.
Yeah.
And then the next day it starts getting brownish again.
Yeah. And the downside of it is, we were saying, Jim, on the way to work, how many accidents did you see? People cannot drive here. It wasn't even raining hard.
Well, no, after the first rain, after a while, the oil that's on the road becomes very slick. It's like ice skating.
That's right.
That's why after the first rain, it gets very dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I saw, I don't know how many accidents on the way. And I grew up in Buffalo doing, you know, donuts all the way to work on black ice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just saying, it is a little slippery, but not Buffalo slippery, is all I'm saying. All right, real quick, Helen in Albuquerque. Go ahead, Ellen. Hey, Ellen.
Oh, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
happy to be on with Edie. Hi, Edie.
Hi.
I saw a bumper sticker this weekend that actually made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. It was Palin Coulter 2012.
Oh.
No!
Yeah, we just caused some more accidents. Paula, you were doing the shower scene from Carrie again. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My hormones don't rage. Oh, sure, they get mad sometimes, but then they just stop speaking to each other.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. In the midst of the Mondays with the McClurg, Edie McClurg, live in the studio with us. We are starting a new campaign to get her on Dancing with the Stars. She's quite a hoofer, you may not know.
A hoofer. Oh, yes. Okay.
Not heifer.
Not heifer.
Oh,
thank Edie. You. Oh, I thought, am I going to have to go over there and slap you?
You might like that.
Here's some breaking news. Joan Collins.
Chris would like that.
Joan Collins shops at Target.
Who does?
Who
Joan Collins shops at Target.
Really?
The recession is real.
Good for her.
That's where she gets her fake jewels, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that.
She said, Target, I was there yesterday, although you'd never recognize me. I don't know what her special Target costume is, so that we don't recognize that it's Joan Collins at Target.
Well, she just takes off her makeup, and I'm sure she just fits right in. Ow! Ow!
Bristol Palin.
Better than going to Walmart.
Mm.
You just released the counterweight system for the facelift. And
I enjoy the Target. Bristol Palin says she does not think her ex, Levi Johnson, is qualified to run for a mayor of Wasilla. Yeah, it would be hard to
shock.
Yeah, it would be hard to screw it up as badly as her mother did. But
yeah.
He might stay on the job a little longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know when it's really like the brain trust between Levi and Sarah Palin, you don't really know who's winning that one. Because he actually said the more intelligent thing about her running, or not, when she said if no one else runs, and he goes like, well, since when does no one else run? Which is true. Like, this will be the one year that no one wants to run for president except for she'll have to. All right. Kanye West, this is very important news, has not only confirmed that the penis photo circulating on the internet is him.
Oh, boy. What?
He confirmed that? He said yes?
Yes. Uh-huh. He is now taking umbrage with the media, chopping the photo in half and showing him just from the waist down. He compared it to he said it's happened so many times throughout history, they knock the nose off the Sphinx.
What?
Superficial writing, there's no way I can't respect a man who equates having his genitals edited with the history of the wonders of the ancient world. Oh, boy.
Oh, Kanye.
You heard him, media. You chopped off his... That's like knocking the nose off the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Jim, here's what also is in store for us with the Republicans. Lindsey Graham calling for a war with Iran to neuter the Iranian
war. He's not the first one.
Mm. Yes, he took it upon himself to make U.S.-Iran policy declaring containments off the table.
Oh,
okay. Wow. They're all sure. They're suddenly
World War
in
III.
Charge now, aren't they?
That's the only way to save the economy.
He saw the U.S. going to war with Iran not just to neutralize their nuclear program, but to sink their navy, destroy their air force, and deliver a decisive blow to the Revolutionary Guard. In other words, neuter that regime.
And murder a lot of innocent civilians, which will not be good for us.
You know, it's amazing, having been proved catastrophically wrong about Iraq, are we rewriting all history now? Like, are people really going to go, yes, it would be good to start yet another war, I think. Now the Republicans have, you know, they've gotten such a resounding victory. People are apparently for another preemptive war.
And don't forget, Pakistan has nukes. You know, you have to think how they're going to respond to that.
Yes, yes. By the way, the president, of course, is in India.
The partnership between India and the United States, I believe, has limitless potential to improve the lives of both Americans and Indians.
Mostly Indians.
Just as it has the potential to be an anchor of security and prosperity and progress for Asia and for the world.
And more importantly, he looks a lot cooler dancing overseas than President Bush did, who looked like a total dork no matter where he was. Just saying.
There is something about a new book that's going to be coming out, The Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, and Karl Rove's part in all of that. And one thing that Bush insists that he was against conquering Iraq.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. We all remember that, I think.
Rumsfeld and the neocons made him do it.
Yes, he said there were dissenters and he was the main one.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
But Bush's own ghostwriter revealed how candidate Bush had already been talking privately in 1999 about invading Iraq, an action he believed would gain him political capital as president.
Yeah. Yep. He popped his head in a meeting, didn't he? Condi Rice and some senators like, we're taking him out. Yeah. It's dumb. It's toast. We're taking him out.
If only we had some catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event. Hey, that'd be cool.
Okay, let's go to Linda in Asheville, North Carolina, on the filibuster. Hi, Linda.
Hey, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead.
God, you caught me off guard.
Sorry.
I'm calling about I think the best strategy for the Democrats to do in the lame duck session is to pass the Disclosure Act. There's no way we can keep up with the foreign and the domestic money, you know, of all the secret givers. When I give my $25, my $50, I have to say who I am, where I work. I'm a U.S. citizen.
Right.
And why are the corporations exempt from this? If
right.
the Democrats don't do this, we're just going to be buried. And the next Congress, you're never going to get the Disclosure Act. You're not going to get the Fair Elections Now Act. And I think I had a terrible feeling about this when Obama chose his economic team. And about independence, I think they voted for Obama because the Bush administration was so bad. They were never really Obama's people.
Yeah, well,
and
no,
now
I'm...
that he's been sort of, and he's done, and Obama has done a lot of good, and it's very ironic that we have this president who is the most eloquent of speakers, and he can't find a team that could get his ideas and his policies across in a coherent manner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah,
and,
I think...
and Heath Shuler is my congressman,
mm-hmm.
and I held my nose and I voted for him because I didn't want the Republican. He's endorsed by the Sierra Club because he has a very decent environmental record, but I hate his social conservative stance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I mean, and on the other side, again, this is something Bill Maher pointed out this weekend, is it's they are regressing further back. I mean, I think pretty much every Republican candidate elected this cycle is a global warming denier. The choice could not be more clear on that issue. Let's go to Robin in Atlanta. Hey, Robin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rob. Hello, Robin.
Oh, hi. Hi, how are you?
Good,
Robin. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that I'm a scholar of Italian studies. That was my major, over the last 8-10 years, I've been knocking off points one by one because it took about 20 years for fascism to come to power in Italy, and some of the similarities are striking, and I think that's maybe a message that we need to get across to some of our independent friends that, hey, it is about picking sides. It really is. There is no middle ground anymore.
Right. Well, and
you've got religion hijacked. You've got the media hijacked. You've got the patron-client situations going on between the Republicans and the corporatism. All of those things come into play and have.
Right. Well, I think that it's like Bill Maher said. It's just because they keep moving so far to the right, and you can't point that out enough, can you? I mean, you do have to pick sides at this point.
And they make liberal a nasty, nasty word.
Right. Yeah.
And here's something. Let's see who said this, if you
yes.
can.
Oh, is this a guess the quote? Why,
mm-hmm.
Jim?
Pay attention. Mm-hmm. If by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights, and civil liberties. Someone who believes we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad. If that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say I'm a liberal.
Jim?
Vaughn Mita.
I knew you were going to guess that.
I believe the fault lies not with the salad, but with the dressing being used on the salad.
You're very close.
Let me just say that I have nothing against the dairy industry. However, in the future, I would prefer if we stuck to coleslaw.
All right. John F.
It
Kennedy.
It is. John
yes,
F. Kennedy.
We know. Yes, we...
September.
Yes, Bob.
1960.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, but that's part of it. He's reclaiming that. You know, I mean, you've got to go down each and every issue and go, this is really an unprecedented move, I think, in our history to the right. This particular
Republicans
current crop.
I've tried to make JFK out to be a conservative. You know, assassinating him twice, essentially.
Yeah. Von Ciel in Asheville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Von Ciel. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Now, speaking of short memories, we don't buy at Target anymore, remember?
Oh, they donated to
some... They donated $150,000 to that homophobic candidate, who, by the way, lost.
Oh, good.
So
that's the good news, is a lot of the homophobes did lose this cycle.
What was with
Carl Paladino and his bat on election night?
I still got my bat.
But I mean, he's going... He came in a bully, going out a bully, right? I mean, he literally threatened Andrew Cuomo.
Enthusiasm.
Well, I think he drinks. That's my
It's like, yeah, we can wield this against you too, Governor Cuomo.
Enthusiasm.
All right, but anyway, no buying at the Target.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Carl Paladino. What am I, a clown? Am I here to amuse you? Yeah, that was the weirdest thing ever, that toy bat he had on election night. That was just... What? And he basically was threatening Andrew Cuomo with a bat if he doesn't... Is it me or do the Republicans... Are they the ones that didn't get what happened on election night? Christine O'Donnell's like, we won! Okay, we've got the room till...
Luffy girl!
We got food! We won!
Telling her opponent things that he should do. It's like,
yes.
You lost.
Don't you come after the estate, the estate tax.
I know, right?
What?
It's in the First Amendment that I won.
Right?
Because there's all this food here. We should eat it.
Was that the most bizarre, disjointed thing, Jim? Where did that come from? The estate tax that affects 0.01% of the... And she didn't even talk about it during the election. It was like, what? That's her stand now, as I'm standing up for the 0.00...
You know, the death tax.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Because deaf people shouldn't pay taxes.
Boy, oh boy.
It's in the Constitution.
That was all about the party. I think she drank somebody under the Satanic altar that night. You know what I'm saying? That was a long night with me.
Whee!
45 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour. Mondays with Edie McClurg.
I'm awake.
She's finally awake. Live in studio. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking during the break. You are very environmentally conscious. You have a Prius.
Yes.
And we were talking about how we love the commercial where the polar bear hugs a man in his driveway because he drives a Leaf.
I'm going to be driving a Leaf as soon as they...
I had to explain that commercial to a friend. I'm like, it's because he's cleaning up the plant and that's where the polar bear hugged a man.
Because he's not putting effluence out.
Okay. I spent all weekend on the internet, Chris, watching Cat Eat an Apple. And
oh, God.
Oh, my God. Once have you
eaten an apple?
But do you get online? I fell down the watching Pets on the Internet hole, and then you cannot get back up.
The best one is the cat eating the watermelon. No, kitty, don't eat the rind.
No, kitty, no. No, this is the same kind of cat, a Himalayan cat eating an apple. Apple a day, kitty. Oh, it's so funny. And then, oh, did you see the puppy that was making noise and sleeping? The little the puppy
oh
was...
My God. Oh, yes. That was a cute little puppy.
Oh, boy. Stephanie has discovered YouTube.
And I love the dogs in Halloween costumes that all look like they've lost the will to live, that whole...
Yes. Well, you know, you're now going down that big hole of the internet.
Well, you were just talking about the kids and the technology and our cranky old person rant during the break. And, Chris, you said that kids today, they think of phone calls as like an imposition on their time, to which you said, them.
Yeah.
Talk to me with your voice, is what you said.
Yes.
I'm texting while I'm driving, okay?
No texting. I will not read text.
I know. I am old.
I'm
I don't
busy.
Live my life on Twitter, and I don't want to just text somebody. I want to talk once in a while.
All right, so I killed someone at a crosswalk. I was texting, all right? It's important.
It was where we were going to meet for coffee.
Shouldn't have been walking.
Tell groups of teenagers when they're texting. It's like they're texting each other, and they're right there.
They're
right
sitting
there.
Right next to each other. Yes.
Gal. Dang, kids. All right. Oklahoma. By the way, here's some other stuff that happened on the... Some inadvertently hilarious stuff that happened during the elections. Oklahoma voters may have accidentally voted against the Ten Commandments. Last year, radical right-wing politicians in Oklahoma passed the Ten Commandments Monument Display Act. which ordered the placement of a monument displaying and honoring the Ten Commandments on the grounds of the Oklahoma State Capitol. Many of these same legislators voted to put a proposal on the ballot, Save Our State constitutional amendment that bans Sharia from being considered in Oklahoma courts. One analyst said, many of us who understand the law are scratching our heads this morning laughing so we don't cry. I'd like to see Oklahoma politicians explain if this means the courts can no longer consider the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, isn't that a precept of another culture and another nation? The result of this is that judges aren't going to know when and how they can look at sources of American law that were international law in origin. It's just this dopey overreaction. Nobody has said that we should institute Sharia law in the United States. It's like...
But then where would Bill O'Reilly get his falafels?
I don't know. By the by, a gay Republican group, the Log Cabin Republicans, are asking the Supreme Court to reinstate a lower court's order banning the military from enforcing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Log Cabin move appears to face long odds at the Supreme Court. At least right now, in major cases, justices usually refer such applications to a full court. In this instance, Elena Kagan would be expected to recuse herself since she played a role in strategizing about the case. That would leave four conservative justices likely hostile to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, facing three liberal justices who might be open to it. Supreme Court handicappers consider Kennedy the possible swing vote, but even if he joined the liberal wing, it would fail on a 4-4 tie.
So, three conservatives and Clarence Thomas. All of his rulings are what he said.
Do you know where the Log Cabin Republican name came from?
I do not. What are the fun facts, Edie McClure?
Well, back in the day, in West Hollywood, there's a meeting hall called the Log Cabin.
It's her telling a story voice.
And it was a log cabin.
On Robertson.
And the young gay men who lived in the area decided that they needed a political action committee, so they started meeting at the Log Cabin,
and that's how they became
Log Cabin Republicans.
Thank you, Edie. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I thought it was an allusion to Abraham Lincoln sharing
Wake up, everybody. The story's over.
And now AA meetings are held there.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
You thought it was the Abe Lincoln gay rumors, Jim? That was what that was about?
Yes, because he apparently shared a bed with a guy for a while.
Not in a gay way.
No, I mean, that wasn't all that uncommon in those days.
His wife's middle name was Todd, just saying.
Todd!
Who was Todd before she became Mary? No doubt.
Julie in New Milford, Connecticut. Hi, Julie.
Good morning. I would just like to cheer people up. There is some good news out there. Here in my little state of Connecticut, we think we might have a Democratic governor, and that is the first Democratic governor we've had in 20 years, so it's a nice flip.
Yahoo! Yeah.
But also, I do want to say, like, after listening to all the pundits tell me what the message of this whole election has been, I think the message is that, you know, Americans treated the Senate and the Congress as if it was a frozen keyboard, and we all just kind of pounded all of the keys on the keyboard at once to see if it would unstick it.
We just did. The American electorate did percussive maintenance. Our governing body. Rita in Irvine called the Boner's office. Hello, Rita.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead. You called our orange overlord.
I was just going to say, when you mentioned about can't we call them and ask them about the jobs, Thursday morning I called Boehner and McConnell, and I kept saying, where are the jobs? You've been reelected for 2 days.
And he said, hell no, you can't do that. You can't ask me that.
Well, you can't.
Hell no, you can't!
He actually has they both only had voicemails. The other, you know, like if you call Harry Reid and that stuff, which I continuously do too, you get an actual person that you can speak to, but these guys just have voicemails. But I told him expect a phone call every day, every week until I get the job.
Yep, so there you go.
We can do it.
Yep.
We can do it.
Keep at it. All right, David in Springfield, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. And start crying about all the jobs you had to do as a youth as well. Hello, David.
Okay, thank you very much, Stephanie. On the health care bill, I believe it would be great for the Democrats to have either an addition to or an alternative of a health care bill that would stress from the first grade anti-smoking and having the children eat good quality food to get away from the junk foods like hot dogs and potato chips and deep fried food. And this would prevent a lot of health issues in the future.
You're absolutely right. He's talking about a nanny state, of course.
The problem is, you know, fresh fruit is more expensive than crap.
Yes.
And also getting kids to eat things that are good for them is
very hard.
A chore.
Like washing a cat. That was on the internet, too.
Yes.
All right.
Washing a cat who was eating vegetables. Yeah.
Or something along those lines. All right, real quick, Ash in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, hi, this is Ash. Am I on?
Yes, go on.
Hi, I'll make this really quick. I called in to talk about subliminal messaging, and people seem to think that the Democrats had a hard time getting their message out. And one interesting thing I came across, I don't have a TV, so I get all my information online, but I watched Diane Sawyer on ABC.
One of the problems we have is not being able to realize when we're reaching a hard break in radio and it's too late to get your message out. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank Edie McClurg and another delightful Mondays with McClurg.
I'm sublimital.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.